Was it an accident, Andrew? Andrew?
I'm worried about Andrew.
Listen to me. We can't screw around with this. It's too dangerous. Andrew, it's not a game.
Andrew!
Stop this right now!
Who's making that sound?
Guys, what is that?
All right, dude, we're going inside.
Steve, wait up.
Matt, look at this!
Holy...
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies Second Reel. We haven't done one of these in quite a while, simply because of schedules and that sort of thing. And you know, I don't know how many diehard Second Reel fans there are, but for those who don't remember what the Second Reel episodes represent, just these weird offshoots, one-off episodes, whenever there's something that doesn't fit into Fat Guys of the Movies, the show, or if it doesn't fit into the Idiot Boxers or Celluloid Spotlight or anything else on the Fat Guys Network feed, we just do this extra show that's sort of a bonus episode, I guess you can say. And today we are inviting longtime listener, longtime caller, longtime not knowing what his name is, officially Steve Gabe. Is coming on. He's been, you've heard him, he's emailed and called the show before, but welcome, Steve, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
First of all, the title of this episode is it's a Fat Guy 5. We're doing a Fat Guy 5 special, and it's the 5 reasons why Chronicle sucks ass. Simply because I hated this movie. If you listen to the show, you know I hated it. We're going to go into in-depth detail about what it is. But before we start doing that, Steve, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do? Where you're from? You know, what's your favorite color? I really don't care what your favorite color is, but you know, you can tell us if you'd like.
Well, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. I live out here in the hot desert, even in the wintertime. Yes, I'm in shorts right now and t-shirt.
I'm not wearing pants, so.
Thank you. I'm so glad we're doing this in video. I work at a law firm. I just do paperwork.
Nothing exciting.
No.
You file things.
No, I used to, I write reviews online, just amateur stuff. I've been doing it ever since 92. When I actually used to do it for my newspaper, in the college, my college newspaper called Reeves Reviews. Ooh. And I took that with me, and I just kind of do it as a hobby and to piss people off, pretty much.
And that is what the internet's for, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Lose friends and piss people off.
That's right. And celebrity sex tapes. So this has nothing to do with sex tapes, but we're going to be talking about Chronicle. What had happened was I had gone and seen Chronicle last week at midnight. I did not get a chance to really weigh in on it on the Fat Guy show last week because they didn't screen it, because it's 20th Century Fox, and they're iffy screenings in my town for that. So I didn't actually get a weigh in on whether or not I liked it. And then I saw it and I freaking hated this movie. Everybody else loved it. It's like at 80-some percent, like 84% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm just hearing people just gush over this movie. And I seriously thought I saw a different movie, because I thought it was just crap from beginning to end. And what's funny, the story behind this is Steve, who we know each other through Facebook.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I'm going to go see it. I was raging about the movie. And then he went and saw it, and I saw he posted his review on Facebook. So I went and I looked. And you were about as unkind as I was. And I'm like, yes! Yes!
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah.
And you actually said, you even said in the comment section on your post there, you basically said that you were expecting to like it.
I was expecting to disagree with you, yes. Okay. I thought that I would like the superhero powers of these kids, and I was a teenage boy once, so they've got to go far.
Well, so was I.
I still have that mind, though. I can think of how they are going to think. And I'm thinking, oh, well, I want to fly. I want to have telekinesis powers. I want to lift a girl's skirt up, sort of.
Yeah. Well, but see, that's in fact, part of the reason, I think, and we'll get into this later, part of the reason why you didn't like it. That's part of the reason why I didn't like it, because same thing. I think any boy, and probably a good number of girls, too, grew up, and if they had could get superpowers, they would do certain things and think of certain things that I don't think ever even take place in the movie. But the reason we're doing it is Fat Guy 5, we thought, instead of just getting on here and ranting about it, and you know, I'm all for diversity of opinion, just not during this, because if you want to hear people talk about how much they love Chronicle, just look at everybody else's site. Mm-hmm. You want to listen to somebody hating on Chronicle, this is the site we're going to do. So we have we're sort of merging the Fat Guy 5 posts that I used to do with a second reel post, and these are the five reasons why Chronicle sucks ass. And the first one on the list is, I'm going to reorder this from what we talked about. Let's just talk first of all the found footage format aspect. Steve, go ahead and explain to me why you think the problems with this being a found footage movie and how they worked this into the film.
Well, how they worked it into the film. Well, it's just a kid that goes around and he explains to the audience that he's filming this for no reason at all. And
he literally says that, like, in the beginning, he's like, I just have to I'm going to film everything from now on. I think that's a line he says. Yeah, I'm just filming everything from now on.
Repeatedly, Kevin, you're not giving the whole story. Every 3 minutes, yeah. He tells us, someone asks him, why are you filming? I don't know. I'm just filming.
Yeah, I'm now, filming because these other guys told me to film. These directors of this movie.
Wait, can we give spoilers here? Or how?
Yes. Oh, this is going to be a totally spoilery episode. So if you haven't seen this movie and you want to, you're going to get everything. We're going to spoil beginning to end. So yeah, I'm just going to warn you.
Okay.
Don't come bitching at me that I spoiled it, because I'm warning you now.
So. Well, this is kind of mild, but you know where it's going.
Yeah.
You know where it's going, because the fact that he says, I don't know why I'm filming. I just think I need to. I think I need to. So that's the director's telling you, guess what? Something's going to big is going to happen. And we all need to get this on footage.
Yeah.
Something like a Cloverfield.
Well, and part of it, see, here's the other thing. I think they tried to at one point say the reason why he was filming it, because right at the beginning, it's like his dad's going to come in and beat his ass. Mm. Which you didn't know it was his dad. I thought it was his brother or his roommate, actually, when they first started the movie. And it's ostensibly you think he's filming it because he's getting bullied at school. He's getting beat up by his dad, and he gets all this footage. He doesn't do shit with it. Even before he gets superpowers, it's not like he videotapes the kids beating him up and kicking his camera. Why didn't he take that down to the goddamn principal's office and be like, look, these guys are beating him and they're on footage. This is the guy doing it, before he even got superpowers.
Yeah, but that's where he thinks, what if I got superpowers? I'm going to get back at these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's the thing. We'll get to that later.
Oh, no, yeah. I just jumped ahead a little bit there.
about how he handles the superpowers. But you're right. It's that thing where they have to consistently remind you why they're filming, which I thought went out of style with Blair Witch. And even Cloverfield, which I did like, it was this thing where, like, why are you – oh, I have to film this. We have to get this documented. They literally say that at one point in this movie. He's like, we have to document this.
So yeah, but this is not interesting. This wasn't interesting. That had a creature, a Godzilla-type creature. Yes, that is good that you're filming it. I think they should have.
That point, he's like, yeah, if I survive this, I can sell this to hard copy for, you know, $5 million or whatever.
Okay, the other thing about they have explained with the found footage format is, how are we going to get into this hospital room? How are we going to film this? How is this going to make sense? They don't make sense. They put two cameras in a hospital room filming, and off camera you hear a policeman saying, that's for investigation.
Yeah, we have to keep filming this for our investigation. And you're like, nobody even asks him. It's not like a doctor comes in and be like, why is this camera? If they had that, but that's the problem with the movie, is they have to keep reminding you why, and they keep making excuses for it to get filmed. Whereas at some point you just be like, you know what? Shoot it found footage style. Shoot it like Modern Family, which is, you know, the television show, which is a mockumentary type thing, because they have interviews, but they never acknowledge the camera. out of it. It sort of yeah. breaks that mold a little bit, and that may have been a little more interesting, but they spend so much time reminding you that there's a camera there and why it's there. That's the problem. And that's what I rolled my eyes is near the end when he's in this hospital room and they're like, because obviously his camera's gone, but they're like, oh, we have to keep filming this.
But not one, but two cameras in there.
Two cameras, yeah. And there's like security footage. And then there's a part at the end where they're at the Space Needle. He literally breaks the glass and for no other reason than to pull everybody's cell phone, iPad, and camera out and make a ring around him and the other guy in the air. So they film all this, and I'm like, that's really going a little far. Because I thought when he broke the window, I thought he was pulling all the people out and was going to have them fall to their deaths, which at least would have made some sort of sense because he's in this rage. But no, it was just to get the cameras. Like, oh my gosh, there's an iPad. Let's give me that, you know.
Well, tell me about how you hated the first part of the movie and the same thing with the camera.
Well, and that's the every single found footage. This is why I'm kind of done with found footage as a genre, because as everyone's like, oh, it's innovative and it's new and it's fresh. No, it's not, because every movie starts the same way. Every movie ends the same way. Every movie starts with this. Okay, is the camera on? I need to film this. Can you see me? Okay, this is what we're doing. That's how every single found footage camera. And if it doesn't start with that, it starts with a news broadcast and then goes to, okay, can you hear me? I mean, everything from Wreck to Cloverfield to, I mean, it's everything.
Dire of the Dead. Dire of the Dead.
Yeah, everything starts, and then everything ends with the camera crashing, falling on the ground, and then showing something inside. Now, this one doesn't necessarily end exactly that way, but it's that same sort of thing.
Yeah, with Mike in the corner. The camera falls. It always falls on its side. Reference. It always has to be the side angle.
Yep. Reference to Blair Witch.
Yeah, Blair Witch. Mike in the corner. No Mike.
Yeah. And it was fresh with Blair Witch. And even Blair Witch, though, there's parts in Blair Witch where it's like, why are you filming this? Why can't you? Because the thing is, their lives are in danger. Put the goddamn camera down.
Well, in Cloverfield, I did like Cloverfield, and they should have put the camera down, like, when they went into the building.
Yeah.
They went in the building, and they had to get the girl off of the spike.
Yeah.
Or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
There was times that I put the goddamn camera down, but when you're filming a Godzilla-type creature or the little Godzillas that were running around, like, from the Matthew Broderick movie.
Yeah.
You do need to kind of film that for research later, but...
And I can suspect, I mean, movies are about suspending your disbelief, but sometimes, and that's why I think Cloverfield works, even though it's there, and even Blair Witch works to a degree, reminding them that there's a camera. This doesn't work at all. The camera's, it is the most obvious camera that you never see.
Yeah.
So that's the first reason, found footage. And it's not that found footage is bad. It's just, it's overused. It's the new torture porn. It's the new J-horror. It's the new thing that everybody's using, and they're like, oh, and I said this to you off the air. I said it's sort of like back in the 80s whenever somebody wanted to have a new song on like a sitcom. They're like, we'll have them rap because that's the new thing that the kids are doing.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't come across well. So.
Yeah.
Second reason, visual effects.
Oh.
I've heard nonstop about people saying, oh, my God, these awesome in-camera effects. What movie did they see? These are some of the worst special effects I have seen in quite a long time.
I haven't seen these kind of special effects since Lois and Clark.
Especially the flying sequences.
The flying sequences when Dean Cain was up there and the green screen of the clouds moving behind him, like in the opening of Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was laughing so hard in the theater when they were trying to fly, and forget all the altitude and all that kind of stuff. It looked ridiculous. And
well, the flying didn't work either way, because when they're up in the clouds, you could see the fuzzy, what I like to say, the fuzzy edge that you get from visual compositing. Cause it was back in when they used to do actual optical compositing with green screens, you got too hard of an edge around people's outline, and that's how you could tell it was a blue screen or a green screen. Now it's gone the other way. When you have these digital compositing, they'll have this fuzzy edge around everybody, and it just doesn't look authentic. It looks like they're standing in front of a green screen. There's a bad green screen, and they're flying, but you can totally, you're like, oh, you're up. It's not even believable you're in the air, because, and it looks less real because it's supposed to be happening in camera, and it just so looks like a special effect.
Yes, and you and I both, and most of your viewers and listeners know about the special effects, the background, the extras on the Blu-rays, where you see where someone's flying in a movie, or in The Matrix, where you see Mr. Smith and he's flying through and you see the harnesses and they say cut. I said, oh, that's a wrap, and they pull him down. We've seen that so many times. This is what I saw in this movie. I saw that room. I saw the director there. I saw the photographer and everybody there. That's what I saw. I didn't see them actually in the sky. I never believed that they were in the sky.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned harnesses as well. When they first learned to fly, and they're at this whatever this abandoned mine or abandoned factory, you can see the harness under their jackets. You can see where it's lifting their coat.
Yeah.
It's sloppy, and they didn't even cover that up. And that's to me what I found partly so insulting about this movie is. Maybe it was because they were doing the found footage, because they were trying to do it, making it look like it was on the fly, as opposed to, but you know, here's the thing: you can do digital effects in camera and have it work, like what they did with District 9.
Mm-hmm.
District 9, there was very few effects in that movie that did not look authentic.
Oh, 100% to me.
And those were done with, and that was done found footage style. But at least, but this is why I respect. That's why I don't consider District 9 a found footage movie, is because it just sort of established it and then it let it kind of go. And they're like, well, we don't care why the camera's there. It's the same reason why we don't care in an Elvis movie why he has backup singers when he's driving a motorcycle. The music just shows up at it. It's like Glee. Why is that piano player there? Well, you know, the people who like the movie just accept that he'll show up whenever they need him to play the piano.
They make fun of that in movies sometimes. I love it when they actually do that.
They do, and that's okay. But yeah, you can see the harnesses when they first flew. And then just the visual effects, all the digital compositing just looks sloppy and murky and blurry, and it didn't fit. There's a scene where who do you call him? The little Obama?
Oh, Obama Jr.
Obama Jr. smiling. I was thinking Obama like Jr. little Archie, you know, little Obama. Because the guy, it is just, again, it's just so obvious. He's like, he's the cool quarterback, and he wants to become, he's talking about, I want to become president. Yet
and
he's
I love
on camera,
politics.
Yet he's and... on camera talking about how high he is, which I'm like, well, you're not going to become president if you do that, because... That shit'll come out, you know. Anyways.
Oh well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. His career is pretty much over.
Well, he dies in the movie, so.
that's why.
That's why he's not going to become president. But there's a scene there where he takes a can of Pringles and he like makes the Pringles fly into his mouth. But it looks like a cartoon because he literally makes something like a dozen or 15 Pringles fly in his mouth. Now, look, I'm a pig and I'm a glutton. I don't think I could easily just chew down a dozen Pringles and then swallow them like they're gummy bears. Now, this is me overthinking the food aspect of this movie.
But I want to jump ahead. I want to jump ahead here.
Yes.
This is what they do. You and I were teenage boys. Mm-hmm. We both read comic books, right?
Yeah. When we were close to the same, because we're close to the same age.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we both read comic books. We both watched superhero movies.
Mm.
Did we both daydream what it would be like to be able to do this kind of stuff? And this is what they do. They eat fucking Pringles.
They eat Pringles. And they eat
Pringles.
And they go to a talent show. This is their big use of their powers. They go to a talent show. And he juggles. Which, okay, that's impressive. But again, once again, the visual effects break down. The juggling in King Kong looked better.
Oh.
And the other thing is, I have to mention the last thing about visual effects, again, with the compositing. There's a scene where they're sitting, where they apparently, allegedly, I'm assuming, they've flown up to a rooftop somewhere in not Seattle. Because it's not, they didn't shoot it in Seattle.
Oh, they didn't.
They just,
that was the only positive I had about the movie.
They did. I know somebody, I've been to Seattle like once, but as I understand, the geography doesn't look anything like that. There's a space needle and that's it. But they're on this rooftop. It looks about as realistic as the scene from The Room. And what bothers me about it is I'm like, why don't you just put them on a real rooftop? If it's all supposed to take, because they don't actually, at no point do they ever jump off and fly.
No, but the camera is moving. So we're supposed to believe that the camera is
Yeah, I know they're supposed to be hovering, but the whole thing is they never cross the line either. I'm talking film term here, but they never cross the line. They could have just put a jib arm out there and had the camera there and just put harnesses on the guys so they wouldn't fall down to their deaths, or maybe they could have. But they don't do it. There's no special effects aside from the fact that they're just on the top of this building. Or just build it so that there's a false ceiling above the roof. So if they were to fall, they'd fall 5 feet to the lower ceiling. There's a million different ways they could have shot this and actually made it look real because, you know, like if you go back to like, remember the movie Last Action Hero when they climb up to the top of like the Empire State Building or something like that and they look over New York? They actually went up there because they didn't have the option of compositing in New York City in the background because I don't think the effects were at that level in 1993. Now this is what we do, and it's supposed to be so real and fresh and look authentic, but it doesn't.
I don't know. Why don't we just go watch Mission Impossible 4 again? We really want to be realistic, but they did try it, though. Remember the old George Reeves Superman flying out the window? They did try that. That's when he went and tried to stop him for one time, and he said, no, I'm out of here, and up and away out the window.
Actually, I saw that in an audience of college students because that's the theater I end up going to for midnight shows. And people howled at that scene. It looks so stupid.
Look, Lois.
Yeah, you expected him to. You really expected him to say up, up, and away because he lands in the window the same way.
Yeah.
So let's move on. Okay. The next part three, third reason why Chronicle sucks ass. Everybody in this movie is an asshole. And I even say that in my review. I said it's about three assholes who get superpowers and become super assholes. And now what's funny is I've been getting a lot of complaints, some complaints through my Rotten Tomatoes review. People are saying, what, you're calling all teenagers an asshole? Because my Rotten Tomatoes quote is, and I quote, it may be a somewhat realistic portrayal of entitled teenagers, but to me it was a story about three a-holes who just become super a-holes. Part of the thing about entitled teenagers is I was complaining about it Thursday night when I saw it, and Drew McWeeny from HitFlix, He responded, he's like, well, you know, teenagers, that's the nature of teenagers. They're very self-centered and they all they care about is themselves. That's the way teenagers are. And I'm like, okay, but and I said, well, I guess it's realistic in the sense that there's a certain level of narcissism there, but I don't like my heroes to be that. I don't want my characters to be like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's got an abusive father. Well, you got to excuse him.
That's what, yeah, a lot of people were saying that. Well, he's not an asshole. But no. I know people who've got abusive fathers who aren't assholes. That's like the same thing as when you get a rapist or a murderer or somebody and you're just like, oh, well, there's somebody I know who through my family, there's somebody who not, I don't know personally, but like a couple degrees of separation who killed two people with an axe in Cleveland and he had a horrible life, but that's, doesn't excuse murdering two people with an axe. You know, you got to draw. You can't sit there because then you'd be like, well, you had an abusive father, so it's okay that you kill people.
It's accountability. It's okay. After a while, you have your own accountability.
Yeah,
and that's like age seven.
Yeah, and he's 17 or eight. No, he's a senior because he's a senior. I mentioned the senior class, and this is why you know because they were jerks. I mean, Andrew, who ends up becoming Darth Vader, basically, is an asshole. And he doesn't stand up for, and he's a wimp too. He doesn't stand up for something. He videotapes these bullies beating him or push, and they really don't. The thing is, what's funny is if you look at what the bullies do, they just harass him a little bit. Nothing, not to excuse bullying. They're not beating the balls off of him out after school or anything. They're just pushing him around at school. And that's not a good thing.
They make fun of his backpack. That's the extent of it. This is ABC Family.
Yeah, it's so if you're going to say, well, he was bullied at school, I'm like, yeah, I got bullied like that in school. And yeah, I'm an asshole, but, you know, seriously, you're not making movies of me. So there's that whole thing, and his father's abusive. But again, he has this camera around all the time, and his father doesn't realize he has a camera when he's beating his son. And then when they finally say, okay, we're going to have rules, they only do it after they almost kill a guy.
Yeah, you see that in the trailer. They almost kill the guy, and they pull him out, and they said, what are you doing calling the cops? They're not going to call the cops, and that's when they decided to have rules.
But even then, his rules were like, well, no, you just don't do it when you're angry, and you got to buy a pizza afterwards. I mean, he battles off these random rules, and then they never talk about the rules again.
Well, I think they mentioned it one time in the end. Don't you remember the rules?
Right. You're right. Yeah.
But that was it. That was it. Don't you remember the rules? No one remembers the rules. That was an hour and 20 minutes ago.
We're drunk when you made up the rules. It's So there's that. And then when Steve dies.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's not Steve, Not me.
But he. It goes nowhere. You had pointed this out. You said there's no emotional. They have the funeral.
No, they film the funeral in an art fashion, art school fashion. Uh-huh. I don't know why they did that. And then suddenly they said, you know what? He died of electric shock or whatever they said in a field. Okay, so do you want to go get a sandwich?
But there's no lightning activity.
Yeah, no lightning activity. Do you want to go get a sandwich? Mm-hmm. Yeah, starving. Fuck.
Yeah.
Funerals make me horny or hot. Hungry.
Or something, yeah.
I don't know. It's late at night.
But all the characters are assholes. None of them are have any redeeming quality. At the very least, who the cousin, what was his name?
Matt.
Okay, Matt the cousin. He was probably the most likable, and he was just bland.
Oh,
there was nothing to him. He was just like, eh. He was like, oh, I'm Matt. And that's it. I mean, there's nothing. And he ends up becoming kind of the hero at the end. And then the very end of the movie, they try to make Andrew into, you know, sort of like, well, we need to honor him. And yes. Oh, you made it, man. We're in Tibet. Well, actually, we're not in Tibet. We're in front of a picture of Tibet.
Yes. Yeah. They weren't even in Tibet. Yeah. They were just. He said, "This is for you, man. This is for you, Andrew." And you'll hear the name Andrew, by the way, as many times as you heard Jack and Rose in Titanic.
Yeah.
Andrew, you hear that a lot. But this is for you, Andrew. And we tried to make him out like the hero, and he really wasn't a hero. There was not a single stretch of goodness in him.
Even though he killed all these people, because he was, you know, flinging people in the air. And you don't fling somebody, you know, 100 feet in the air and 200 feet down the road without them probably getting at least seriously injured. But then they even pulled their punches. I mean, he drops his father out of the hospital, and you know, the hell with all the other patients on that floor. And I mean, I guess they were trying to be like, it's an excuses the behavior. But the other things with Andrew, and I'm again not that there aren't realistic creepy loners like this, but you knew from frame one,
yeah,
that he was going to become a bad guy. You knew he was going to become Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. So there was no surprise there. The next thing is bad storytelling. And this goes back to just and there's something you mentioned about the funeral where they're filming the funeral and the cameras. The guy learns how to levitate his camera. Yet he's doing this at a funeral.
Oh.
And nobody notices.
No one notices his camera flying up. No.
Yeah, no one knows his camera floating and going under people's legs and stuff like that. Seriously, nobody's that blind. So that's just bad storytelling. Now, as an audience, you see that and you don't think, oh, there's a camera, because you're so conditioned to watch movies that the camera actually gets in very intimate situations. But they remind you so many times that there's a camera and that's what they're doing. You're not allowed to take that exit on that. So that's bad. But there's other things.
Well, that's minor. That's minor.
That's minor.
That's minor. That's minor. A bad thing about bad storytelling compared to what's coming.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, there's the fact that they're walking through school once and he's like, listen to this, guys. Telekinesis is, and he reads the definition of telekinesis. First of all, I doubt there's any student. This looks like this isn't like backwoods, weird, rednecky guy. This is just your average suburban, decent, middle class high school. I don't know any 18-year-old senior in high school who doesn't know what telekinesis is. That's like saying you don't know what a Tyrannosaurus Rex is.
Well, it's a meat eater.
Yeah, it's a Meatosaurus.
A Meatosaurus.
But no, because, I mean, telekinesis is – I mean, I can understand people don't know what psoriasis is or something like that. But telekinesis, it shows up on TV and in movies. It's a thing that people talk about. It's not – this is common knowledge, I would think. Yeah. So then these three people, at least one of them should have known what telekinesis is. But Steve's talking about it like he just discovered. He's like, God, look at this.
They're all but looking at the camera and telling us. They're all but treating us like we're stupid. Mm-hmm. It's not just them, the characters. They're treating the audience like they're stupid.
Yeah.
And I had a problem with that.
Yeah, and then the other thing they do is with the superpowers. This is me overthinking and you overthinking. They fly in the air. And again, this is my problem with it. It's one thing to sit there and have them fly in the air and say, okay, they can fly. And be like, well, we're not going to worry about pressurization and thin air or wind shear or anything like that. But when they make a point to be like, gosh, it's really cold up here. And be like, yeah, and I have the bends because the air is so thin. if you're gonna nod your head, tip your hat at one thing, you gotta at least consider everything else. And they make such a point to say, well, they're in, it's cold. And I think they only did that so that you didn't see the harm. I think they shot the scene in the factory yard, and they realized, they're like, oh my god, we can see all those harnesses. We need to put them in big, thick, heavy coats.
Yeah,
because every other flying scene, that's what they're in, either coats or robes.
So. Well, I had a problem with the altitude, too, going up that fast.
Yeah.
Or going down that fast. It's going to have a problem with them, but I'm looking in too deep.
These are things that we are saying, you know, if you were able to fly, I mean, they're not Superman, so they're not invulnerable. And you had said, was it you or somebody else said that, well, maybe they put a bubble around themselves, which maybe because they show that maybe Matt was able to do that because he tried to stab a fork into Matt's hand.
And he also stopped the bus, too. The bus hit him, but he was able to stop it because of the field around him. And I think that is Matt. That's the only character that can do that.
Yeah, and they don't explain it very well. Mm-mm. But the biggest problem in the bad storytelling is, again, trying to give a reason why there's cameras everywhere. They have this character that has no bearing on the entire show at all, on the movie at all. There's just no point to her, but she's this... First of all, ridiculously gorgeous girl who runs a blog and is also ironically filming everything that she sees. I mean, I think that's the only reason she was there was to add another camera because they needed to have an extra camera. That's what the sense I got.
Well, why would they show her angle? Why would they show her point of view? Mm-hmm. I mean, to do a found footage is just that.
It's supposed
somebody. Somebody found this footage, put it together, and I'm going to assume it was the government or a secret government agency that did this.
Yeah.
Somebody found this footage.
And that's how it was in Cloverfield. That's why I thought Cloverfield actually committed to that and did it properly.
They did, yes. Why would you have all this extra footage of the girl and the rave and the door at the guy coming to the door, and it was a very awkward scene mostly for us.
Oh, the scene at the door, that made no sense. And I thought that scene was there for no other reason than to give it a running time that was close enough that theaters wouldn't be like, why is this 68 minutes long?
That's exactly what I was going to say. it was more exciting to watch Bella and Edward courtship.
Yeah.
Those two. I mean, it really doesn't make any sense.
I'd rather watch Bella and Edward play chess and have her grab me and go, I win.
Unless this is based on a true story. Was this inspired by a true story? Was this actual found footage?
If only. Of course it wasn't, because there'd be better special effects if it was real.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, this leads into the next one. And this is the fifth reason why Chronicle sucks ass, is there's so much unrealistic elements to the characters. And again, yeah, unrealistic stuff all the time. I mean, I saw Captain America, I saw Thor, I see Indiana Jones, I see Star Wars, completely wildly unrealistic characters. But they're heroes, they're classic heroes. Part of the reason why, and I've been hearing people loving this movie is because it feels authentic and it feels real and it feels fresh. But it's not. The characters don't do anything realistic. I said this about... the movie, and this is what prompted Drew's comment to me on Twitter. I said, Peter Parker gets bitten by a radioactive spider, and he becomes Spider-Man. These guys get superpowers, and they play pranks on people at Toys R Us. They go to a talent show. They move a car.
They play with Legos.
Yeah.
They play with Legos. They don't do what boys would do. They don't think how boys would think. These are horribly written characters. This is not how kids act. This is not how I would have acted. Mm-hmm. This is not how kids would act today.
Let me ask you a question. If I said to you suddenly, if I called you up, assuming you'd answer the phone and be like, what the hell? If I said to you, oh my God, Steve, I just learned I had the power to fly. What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Yeah, you, Superman.
Superman, yeah. Superman. I mean, you say somebody can fly. I would. Superman. You're going to be like Superman. I'm not saying that the kids had to then go put on tights and become superheroes. But at the very least, it should cross their mind.
Exactly. They go 3 weeks. As far as I may be wrong on this, but I think that there was a 3 week span by them getting these superpowers from the aliens and like the greatest American hero. And 3 weeks later.
Oh, don't want the greatest American hero. It's way better than this movie.
I know. And they fly. There's a lot more realistic flying in the greatest American hero than this one.
Oh, yeah.
They go 3 weeks and they're barely talking about it.
Yeah. There's at no point did they say, well, maybe we could be superheroes. And even if they had that, they go, nah, it's too much work. At least I could have, because that's realistic. A teenager would do that. But they never think, it doesn't even cross, they don't mention it. And I grew up with Star Wars. I remember countless hours as a child trying to move shit with my mind because I thought I could harness the Force. I just don't have enough midichlorians in my system. But I tried to use the Force all the time. And at some point, people used to be like, well, you know, it's teenagers, it's the way they are now. I'm like, no, that nerd, Andrew should have done that because he was a geek. He was a nerd. He was a recluse who was into gaming and sci-fi and all that stuff. He would have at least thought about Star Wars or Superman, and he doesn't have to mention the name. I mean, I understand rights and all that, but he could have said a comic book. I mean, they didn't even mention comic book or a movie or something like that.
No, you have to ask yourself, what would you do in this situation? And if you answer none of this in this movie, then you cannot call this realistic.
Yeah.
Hell, this movie has nothing going for it. No. It's not new. It's not fresh. It's not exciting. It's foretold from the very beginning, like you said about Damien.
Yeah. Damien. Andrew.
Andrew. Damien. Yeah. You look in his eyes and you know right away where he's going. And the other character that spews off poetry throughout the whole thing or philosophies throughout the whole thing, you know where it's going. So it's not. Predictable, or it's very predictable. You know, but the only thing you don't know is why they wouldn't do what everybody else would have done instead of putting on a fireman.
And the other thing, and I think this falls in a similar vein as defining telekinesis, where people should know what telekinesis is. They crawl down this hole, and yes, they're baked out of their mind, and they make a point to say that. Except Andrew's not. That's the thing. Steve, Lil Obama, is he's baked out of his mind because he says that. I couldn't tell whether Matt was. But Steve or Andrew isn't, because he specifically says he doesn't drink, and ostensibly he doesn't drink because his father's a mean drunk. I kind of got that from the story. So they weren't all on drugs. Yet they go in this hole. Let me ask you a question: if you crawl down a hole and you're going down under the ground and you see rock-like formations and something glowing, if that happened to me, I'd be grabbing my genitals and running, because that to me says radiation.
Absolutely. I wouldn't go down in the first place. I would get my friends out of there. But yeah, the first place I would call is the police.
I wouldn't go walking up to it and be like, look, it's pulling the sweat off my face. I wouldn't do that. I don't care how baked you are. You have to sit there and think, that can't be good. Because it doesn't look at all. It doesn't look like it's a man-made structure that just has lights on it. It looks like something glowing.
And yeah, it was crystals or
yeah, you think radiation immediately. And then the final thing I have to say, just an unrealistic character. What was the deal with the 40-year-old high school woman with red hair that he puked on at the party?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was trying to be that girl from Kick-Ass.
Yeah,
she's Kick-Ass's older sister.
Older sister, Kick-Ass's mom or matronly aunt or something, because she looked like she was at least 30, 35. What's funny, I looked that up. She's dating the guy who plays Andrew.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah. And I don't understand what the deal was with the fucking red hair. Because, first of all, she already looks like she's like 30, trying to look like a teenager, and it was failing miserably.
I miss that whole thing because I thought that was no. It was only an hour and 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't until I read a review afterward that I found out that it was actually puke.
What? Her hair was puke?
No. On his shirt.
Yeah, I got that. He threw up on her.
I didn't know that. I read a review later. I thought that was something else. I thought he is part of his superpowers.
It's just part of his superpowers. He sprays sort of like a beige-ish junk from his pants.
Yes. Well, it looked white. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention during this movie. It didn't offer me anything.
You were lost at that point. You're like, I don't care where that came out of.
I just don't. Well, no. I thought it was ridiculous because he says, "Don't laugh at me, man. Don't film me, man." It's always his idea to film, but he says, "Don't film me, man. Don't film me." And it's like this a giant amount of sperm all over his shirt. And I'm like, that's his reaction?
Two superheroes, one cup. But the thing is, with that, well, speaking of that, I actually made a point to show, because I'm an idiot, because I'm an asshole. I showed Steve Two Girls, One Cup because he'd never seen it. And I figured, well, you know, if you're going to be a film reviewer, you got to see all types of films. So I showed him Two Girls, One Cup. But what was your comment at the end of watching it?
Oh, at least Chronicles better.
Yeah, you're saying Chronicles looking pretty good.
Chronicles looking pretty good. I know. Well, yeah, it got me. It got me.
The thing with the red haired woman. First of all, the red hair. I know people have. In fact, I have a good friend who she's a reviewer, and she's on CNN and she's on movies.com, Gray Drake, who loved the movie, by the way. And she's got this pink faux hawk. I think she's kind of changed. She wears a wackety schmackety hair too, but she's also not in high school. She's not like being in a movie, being the most obviously weird looking thing. I mean, I know people have styles like that, but it just was so jarring. You're just like, wait, no one else is at all rocking that fashion statement in this entire high school. And then he shows up and she's got this red hair. I honestly thought she was like the older sister of somebody or like the mom of somebody. And then he's like, dude, I'm into MILFs. And then but then later on they're walking out and she's in the high school and you're like, whoa, wait, she's going to class. How many times did she fail?
She's in that movie 21 Jump Street.
I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, she's dating the star, and that's why she was in it. I don't know what the hell that was all about. Anyway, so any final words on Chronicle to say? Any other reasons you want to throw in there? Honorable mentions why it sucked?
Why it sucked? No, I just let's see, the abuse of use of Andrew's name, because that's my middle name.
Yeah.
And
Steve Andrew, you were you just needed one of them named Reeve, isn't that what you said, Reeves?
Yeah, Reeves. If the third one was named Reeves, that would be kind of eerie. But Steve and Andrew, which is my first and middle name, that's pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool. It's a bad movie. You know what? What I'd say is go see it with an open mind. I did. Go see it with an open mind. You know, go see it if you're going to see it. I'd be much better to stream it online. Yeah. At home, when it comes to Netflix or whatnot,
it's not worth $10 to go see.
No, it's not worth $10. But if you see it with an open mind and know what it actually is.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point. I mean, I'm not saying that you don't. Hey, if you love the movie, more power to you.
Yeah,
that's great. I love plenty of crap myself. I like Green Lantern, so there. So I like crap. I know that this is just crap that I didn't like.
No, there's just nothing there. There's no substance.
Yeah,
nothing new.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up here. Thank you, Steve, for coming on the show and enjoying the time and being able to tear apart Chronicle with me. Why don't you tell I don't know what was going on with me there. Go ahead and tell the audience where they can reach you, where they can get in touch with you, where they can send you flames and say, you're an idiot. You don't know this movie at all. It was awesome.
Well, I'm on Twitter. My Twitter name is Thesar_EL, like Kal-El.
Oh, okay.
Like Kal-El. I'm part of the L family. And that's Thesar_EL.
So that's because of the Reeves.
Yes. Okay. The Reeves curse. George Reeves, Christopher Reeve. And that's pretty much it.
And then Dean Cain's career. So.
Oh, no, he's been in a lot of direct-to-video movies.
Okay.
Lifetime movies and the show Las Vegas.
Ah, yes.
That's pretty much how you can get a hold of me.
All right.
Right now, I'm developing a website, but right now that's how you can get a hold of me.
Ah, you're going to be soon. It will be on the interwebs. Well, thank you again, Steve, for coming on the show. We're going to go ahead and bid you guys farewell and enjoy or don't enjoy Chronicle.
Thank you.